Okay, so we are at the 31st of October, 2017, the 11th of Marach Shavan, Tavshin Ayin Ches. And we are in the second parak of Vayikra at Halacha Day, and there is a pretty obvious halacha topic, and that is there is a halacha that is based on a pasuk that is found over the course of this parak, and it's found in pasuk Yud Gimel, I believe. Yes, v'chol korban minchascha b'melech timlach. That all of the korbanos of your mincha should be salted. V'lo tashpis melech bris alokecha. You shall not stop, exhaust the melech, the salt, the bris alokecha mi'al minchasecha from your mincha. Menachos al kol korbanecha tachiv melech. And all of your korbanos, one should bring melech. So,
yesterday we talked about you can't have leaven or
honey.
What about the korban todah?
Yes, the korban todah does have a portion of leavened bread, right? One quarter of it is leavened bread,
right?
And there's a reason for that. But yes, that is the exception. Yes.
Different
shear. Oh yeah. What was that? Why another? What other?
What's he talking about?
It's Rabbi
Sprecher. Oh, Rabbi Sprecher. Okay, yeah, that's all bets are off with him. Okay, so what is that halacha? So that halacha finds itself in a Gemara in Brachos. I just realized I forgot to bring a Gemara in Brachos. But don't worry, the Gemara in Brachos is quoted in the Beis Yosef and Simon Kof Samach Zayin. What's going on there? You have a Gemara in Brachos here. Okay. Volume. Oh, over there. Oh, okay.
Oh, is it on?
That's great. I thought you were going to those art schools over there.
No. What are you doing out there, too?
We're learning breakfast now and with... Oh, wow, what are you up to?
17.
Okay. Slow going in Bracha. Okay. So the Gemara tells us as follows. It's in the middle of talking about interruptions and things like that. So it says... Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Hiviu. Right, there it is. Amar Chia Barachia. Ain habotzei rishai liftsoa ad sheyaviu melach o liftan lifnei kol echavecha. That a person, the cutter of the bread, the breaker of the bread, the one who's making the bracha and then breaking the bread, so you should not break it until they bring melach o liftan. Until they bring melach is salt. Liftan is, anybody know what liftan is? So it's translated as relish. What is that? So in the Shulchan Aruch it says anything that you put on bread.
Hummus.
So if you have hummus, yes, hummus or tahina or anything else, matbucha, whatever else you want to have a table, it sounds like that should be okay. Melech liftan lifnei kol echavecha. Rava bar Shmuel ikla levei reish galusa. So one time, who's the one who said it? It was Rava bar Shmuel. So the same Rava bar Shmuel one time went to the reish galusa's house. What does it mean he went to who's the reish galusa? To come across that in your Talmud studies?
The
Exilarch, yeah.
The what?
The Exilarch. Yeah, you got it?
Authority outside.
He was the person who ran the Jewish community, right, in Babel. He was known as the Reish Galusa. Now, how big a Talmud Chacham he was or wasn't is perhaps subjective to, who the Reish Galusa was at the time. You see these stories somewhat regularly of Rabbanim going to their house and either being impressed or unimpressed by his halachic activities. So one time Rabbi Bar Shmuel went to the Reish Galusa. Afiku le rifta uvatsa. So they brought bread in front of him and he broke it. Lehedya amrule. So they said to him, Hadar mar mishmaise. So he says, you're Rabbi Bar Shmuel. You're quoted on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Amud Aleph as being the one that demands that there always should be salt or liftan on the table. And here we're at the Reish Galusa's house, and you seem to have lost all of your morals, right? You just made the bracha without having bread or liftan in front of you. How can you do that? So Amar Lehi says, "Hadar mar mishmais." Did you go back? Did you back off on what you said? Amar Lehi, no. Leis din tzarech bashash. He says, no. We don't need it because of the bashash. What is that? So Rashi says, "Ikuv kamo boshesh rachbo kolomar pas nikiya," that this is considered clean bread. He zuv ain't sarach liftan, and one does not require liftan if you don't require blash, because it's considered good bread. So that halacha is not applicable. Great. What is the reason for it in the first place?
Either salt or liftan, or just
salt or liftan. Yeah.
Always
needed salt. So what's the reason for it? Why did Rav Bar Shmuel say it in the first place? By the way, he didn't quote anything here from Karbanos. Our pasuk is not quoted here in the Gemara, right? So what's his reason for saying this? So Rashi says, "Nami in tzarich levarach she'afzu tzarich bracha she'tei prusa shel bracha necheles betam." That you want the bracha on the bread to be made on tasty bread. What does that mean? In order for the bracha to be made with greater gusto, this is the way I understand Rashi, in order to make the bracha with greater kavana, to be more excited about it, so the bread's got to be good. We'll make a better bracha if there's better food in front of us. Or you might make a faster bracha if there's better food in front of us. But ideally, you make a better bracha if there's better food in front of us, and having the salt or the liftan on the table before you make the bracha is going to enhance the bracha. That, by the way, is going, that's what it's doing here in the Gemara. It's talking about interruptions in the Gemara before. There, before, it talks about why between the Tilas Yadayim and making a motzi, one doesn't interrupt. Sorry, the section before is talking about actually making the interrupting before that bracha. And he says that in order to ask for the salt, one is permitted to interrupt in order to ask for the salt and ask for a liftan, because it is not just a necessity for the food, it's a necessity for the bracha. Right? By having is going to enhance the bracha. That's why we do it. And then we go ahead, that's what the Gemara comments, then the Gemara goes ahead and makes this comment. Yeah, and Rabbi Bar Shmuel said you always need to have it in front of each and every person, that being the assumption, because that's going to increase the enhance the bracha. Okay, we good so far?
So you can interrupt to ask.
Yeah, you can interrupt in order to say salt. You get to the table like Gewalt. There's no salt, right? If you can do it without saying, so that's better. But if you happen to be like in the dining room and your wife is in the kitchen and she's the one who's going to bring the salt, so going like this at the table, right, is not really going to accomplish very much. So
you can't make the most of it until she's there anyways.
But then you just have to go back. Or you can get up yourself and go get the salt, Len. So that is the that's all the Gemara says. Comes Tosos on the Gemara, and Tosos says, well, that's all good and well back in the good old days when the food was really very bad. But says, we don't have this minhag of bringing stuff onto the table of salt and liftan. Why? Because our pas is considered chashuv, is considered special, prestigious. And it's like what we say soon on, that it doesn't require, that, like, this is Tosus going on the first story, so we can have in a minute. This doesn't need, because this is special bread. And so all of our bread is special, says Tosus. Miu Rabbi Menachem, hay medaktik ma'od, lahavi melech al shulchan. However, there was this Rabbi Menachem. He felt very strongly. He was always careful about having salt on the table. As the Medrash tells us, Kishe Yisrael Yoshim al Shulchan Umatinim Zetze Ach Yitlu Yedehem, because the Yisraelim are sitting at the table and they're all waiting for each other until they wash their hands. So we've all been here. They had a nice Shabbos meal. There's 15 guests at the table. Everyone's got to go wash. And those Nebuch, that first guy who washes, he's sitting at the table. He's twiddling his thumbs. Meanwhile, he hears everybody's still yapping away in the kitchen. We're trying to, not really washing. And he's going like this. And eventually another person gets back, another person gets back, and the table's filled up, and then someone forgets the salt, right? They gotta go back. So everybody's waiting for a long time.
You can sing songs.
So you could sing songs, but I was thinking about that. All right, are you, while you're waiting for the bread to make, are you allowed to like have a niggun, hum? Are you allowed to hum? So yeah, so we there's a little bit of a question about that, but you know, in my house we're making on the humming. But still, you're waiting for a while. Actually, it's your day, behem below mitzvos. And while you're sitting there, there's no mitzvos. So I was wondering if this tosos, does this tosos hold that you're not allowed to hum, or do they hold that humming a niggun is not a mitzvah? But either way, you're sitting there and you're not, nothing's going on.
Can you say what I mean? Somebody else is washing.
Someone else is washing. Didn't you? I would say yes, but I think so. Hey, below mitzvahs. But anyways.
What's the reason why you're not allowed to talk in between?
It's an interruption.
Interruption in order to connect the washing and the bread. So, but meanwhile, everyone's sitting there without mitzvahs. So, ha-satan mekatreg aleihem. So, the satan has a good titus. What are these guys doing over here? They're sitting there twiddling their thumbs, doing nothing. Ubris melech magin aleihem. Having the bris of salt. Remember, we learned about the bris of salt yesterday, what salt represents. So, the bris of salt will protect them against the argument of the satan. That's Tosos says, therefore you should have salt on the table, not for the enhancement of the bread. You don't need it for the enhancement of the bread. Rather, the salt is going to protect you against the argument of the satan. Okay? So that's the two things. So if one opens up a Shulchan Aruch, Tur Beis Yosef, Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Aleph. So the Torah says, "V'lo yivatza ad she'yaviu l'fan of melech," that one is not supposed to break the bread until you bring salt. Or lift on the lefes, but prusa habitzia. V'im pas nikiya he ain't tzarach. If you got clean bread, you don't need to do it. V'chein kasvu Rabbeinu Chanan el v'Rambam, and that's what Rabbeinu Chanan and the Rambam both say. Okay, we'll get back to the Rambam in a moment. But the Beis Yosef, right? You have the Torah, and the Torah is the original source. Then you have the Beis Yosef, who's Rabbi Yosef Kar writing his comments along the side. Rabbi Yosef Kar quotes the Gemara. He quotes Rashi. He quotes Tosfos and then adds in uveshivle haleket kasov, and it's written in the shivle haleket mashenagu liftsoa al hamelach, that which our minug is to break bread with salt, pershu hagonim lefisha shulchan nikra mizbeach, was the table is referred to as a mizbeach, uksiv b'mizbeach, it says by the mizbeach in Vayikra Perek Beis pasuk yud gimel al kol karbanecha takriv melach, that on all your kabbalas you should have melach. So that idea of the table being compared to mizbeach is not from the Gemara, it's not from Rashi, it's not from Tosos, rather it's from the sefer called the Shivle Haleket. I forget the original name. His mother didn't call him the Shivle Haleket, but his mother called him something else. I forget what his mother called him and what his story is, but he was a compendium, collection of halachos, kind of like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that was written by the time of the Rishonim, quoted in the Beis Yosef, and that's the idea comparing it to the kabbalas. Okay, so really three reasons to have salt on the table. Number one, the idea of that to make the bread tasty, and in order therefore to enhance the bracha. Number two, in order to what Tosos mentioned, in order to protect you against the satan arguing that they're sitting and doing nothing. And number three is a sefer shivle, is a shivle aleket, this idea of comparing it to the altar. Okay, we're good so far. Now, just to take a bit of a tangent, there is this, the Torah quoted the Rambam, right? And that's what the Rambam writes. Now, if you look at the Rambam has an interesting line. The Rambam doesn't quote the Gemara verbatim. The Rambam says as follows, "Ein habotzei reshai liftzoa ad she'yaviu melach." One is not permitted to break the bread until you bring salt, or liftan, or this relish, liftei kol echad ve'echad, ela im kein, nischavnu lechol pas, unless you have kavana to eat pas, charava. That's what it says in the Rambam itself. The Rambam says pas charava. What does pas charava mean? So it seems like it means dry. That you want to eat the bread dry. Your intention is to only eat the dry bread. I looked it up in Sefaria to see what their translation of charava was, and I found it very interesting that there the word, instead of saying lechol pas charava, ches reish beis hay, it said lechol pas harbe. Hey, reish beis hay. What does the word harbe mean?
Many.
A lot. Unless you have kavana to eat a lot of bread. So I said, that's interesting. So I took a look also online at the Chabad. The Chabad website has the entire Rambam translated into English. You've seen it? So now there's two full translations of the Rambam online. So on Chabad.org website, they have the translation. And there also, it said, Lech Pas Harbe. So I look back at the Frankel Rambam. The Frankel Rambam is the fancy schmancy Rambam that actually the section where Hilchos Brachos is the book of Ahava, which was the last or second to last book that came out. So it's the most up-to-date one. They have there, what makes it fancy schmancy is, one of the things that makes it fancy schmancy is that it has all of the later manuscripts that came out, all of the discussions about what exactly the Rambam said. So it lists there all the different readings of it, and none of them have the language of Harbe. So I don't know what that was, but but it could be that they're really meaning the same thing. That Harava and Harbe means that you're eating a lot of bread and only a lot of bread. If you're eating only a lot of bread, so then you don't have to go ahead, you don't have to worry about bringing out salt. So why would that make a difference? If you're eating a lot of bread and only bread, and you're eating dry bread, so you wouldn't have to bring out anything else. Why would the Rambam make such a comment? That's not what the Gemara says. The Beis Yosef actually argues. He argues on the Torah and he argues on the Rambam. So what's going on here? That's not what the Gemara said. The Rambam, the Gemara gave an exception. The Gemara gave, if it's good, tasty bread, or it's fine flour bread. It didn't say if you're eating a lot of bread. Why would a lot of bread make the difference? So the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan wonders about this Rambam, and he says, I think what the Rambam is driving at is that he's giving an entirely different reason as to why you have to put the stuff out before the meal. Why did we assume that you have to put out melach, or you have to put out relish before the meal? Because, what do we say? Well, it makes the bread more tasty. Or because we want the salt to be like the mizbeach, which doesn't explain the relish. Or we want the salt to protect us from the, right? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, V'atam, Aval Rambam lo hizgar lefes bo prusas habitzia el achi yivu melech oliftan kolomar masherotze lechol b'hasuda. He's not saying salt or liftan as that's what you should dip your bread in. Rather, the Rambam is saying that until you bring out salt or liftan, meaning that which you're going to eat as part of your meal. Im ochel rak pas habimelech. If you're only going to eat bread with salt, dayola habimelech. Then it's enough to bring out salt. The imrotze lechol ezaliftan. Then if you're going to eat any type of relish with the bread, srikim lahavi lefan of a liftan. You should have the liftan out when you make the bracha. Batam, why? Kevin de birchas hamotzi poteres gam halefas shekol asuda. Because when we eat the bread, we make the bracha on the bread, that exempts all the other foods that we eat during the meal. So therefore, srikim sheyu lefan of beis hamotzi. If that's the case, those other foods should be where? In front of you when you make hamotzi. V'lav mishum detzarech lidpol prusa hamotzi behem. It has nothing to do with dipping bread in it. It's a Hilchos Brachos issue, not a Hilchos Birchas Hamotzi issue. So it actually comes out to be, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rambam is really giving a fourth reason why we have that stuff in front of you. Having nothing to do with what we've talked about. They're simply saying that's Hilchos Brachos. Hilchos Brachos demand that you should have some, at least some of the food that that you're going to be eating with this bread, it should already be out when you make the bracha on the bread. And he adds that at the end, he says, I don't see anybody else that makes this comment. And therefore, according to the way I explain the Rambam, you know what we should do? Besides making sure if you have salt on the table, what else should you have on the table? The first course. You should also then have the first course on the table when you make the bracha v'motzi. Now that makes things a little complicated. Why? Because if you hold of a couple of chumras, or I don't know if chumras or not chumras, but there is a famous shita from the Rav, that the Rav was held, that when you, Rav Shechter quotes this in Nefesh HaRav, that when you make a bracha of hamotzi on Shabbos, there should be when you make Kiddush on Shabbos, there should be no other food on the table. Just as you should cover up the challahs, you should also cover up everything else, or nothing else should be on the table for the same exact reason, not to embarrass the food, and but really the berachas hakefesh could come later, and etc. So it's the same idea. So if you want to clap both the Rav and the Aruch HaShulchan, what do you need to do? You have to have the food off the table when you make Kiddush, and then brought onto the table between. So you can have a bit of a problem if your wife has to bring the salt out, because
no problem. All right, so because after you make Kiddush, and that salt's out of the you go wash hands, as you're walking back to the table, my wife hands everybody as they're walking back, here, put this on the table.
Some food. Oh, okay, so she's fulfilling this Aruch HaShulchan already.
Exactly.
Okay, very good. Very good. So that's an interesting shot there from the Aruch HaShulchan. Tov. So, how do we paskin here? A few minutes left. So, in the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Yivtza ad sheviu lefanav melech liftan. One should not break the bread until you bring melech liftan. Adds in Rashi: Kol davar hanechal ima pas. Anything that you eat with the pas. Now, what does that mean? So, I originally read it as anything that you dip in the pas. Meaning, you could have if you want to dip your pas into honey. Although your question about maybe honey, that's a good question. I like it. I haven't seen anybody that discusses it yet, but anything that you have should be that you're going to dip your bread into, that should already be on the table. Lefes bo prusa betzia v'imhi nekia, and if it's clean bread, oshi mutves betavlin, already is dipped in stuff, over melchein shalanu, like our bread, oshi schavin lechol paschayir, or you want to eat dry bread, I mean that's it, enu tzarech lahamtin, one does not have to wait. One does not have to do this. Umikol makom, says the Rama, mitzvah laniach kol shulchan melech kol mishiyot. It's still a mitzvah to put it out there. Why? Ki hashulchan domo lemizbeach. The shulchan is like the mizbeach. Va'achilik a korban. The eating is like a korban. V'nemar kol korbanecha takriv melech. And it quotes our pasuk that all the korbanos you should bring with salt. V'hu magin mina paranos, and also protects you from danger. What's that? That's the sheet of Tosos. So therefore, what comes out is the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, like Rashi, that it is something that is a specific use. That it's a specific only if it's bread that's not that's dry or etc. But the Ramah quotes these other reasons, implying that you should have salt. Now it's interesting. This is in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin. Kuf Samach Zayin is regular Hilchos Brachos. There's no distinction between Shabbos and the rest of the week, but yet you'll see people that are makbid on this on Shabbos and they don't even think about it during the week. So part of that just is, because that's what we're used to. Is there any reason why one would say that one should be specifically makbid on this on Shabbos and don't have to worry about it as much during the week, based on what we've learned? So according to the reason of the Rambam, obviously it doesn't make a difference. According to the reason of the Rashi, that this needs to taste better, so it shouldn't make it ill. It shouldn't make a difference Shabbos and during the week, according to the reason that it's like a shulchan, it's like a mizbeach. Shulchan is like a mizbeach, so also it shouldn't make a difference Shabbos or during the week. But according to Rav Menachem, that the whole thing is about people sitting and waiting for people to come. What's going to happen during that time? So when do we sit and wait for people to come in order to make hamotzi for everybody else? It's only on Shabbos, right? During the week, even if you have a bunch of people sitting together, you don't have one person make hamotzi on behalf of everybody else. Everybody comes, sits on the table, makes their own hamotzi, and moves on. So because there's no waiting, perhaps that would be a reason to only have it on Shabbos and not during the week.
That was also my reason. We have guests mostly on Shabbos who carry the first course to the table after they wash.
I mean, what? So there is...
During the week, normally we don't have guests to bring the first course.
So they're.
It's too complicated.
Okay. So what else do we got here? Fine. Okay, so just a couple of other notes that are mentioned here in the Piskei Tshuva. So in the Piskei Tshuva, he quotes. First of all, there's an ideal that it should be dipped. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah comments, and really the Gemara, what the Gemara said, until there is salt and liftan in front of each person. So it doesn't mean in front of each person, so you need to have separate salt for in front of each person. So he comments here that that's not applicable, Bizman Hazed. That's back in the good old days, as you may have seen in some Gemaras, you'll see it in Brachos later on, that the minhag used to be that people had their own tables. I'm not sure what this really looked like, but we learned that they would bring the tables, individual tables. I always had, when I learned this the first time in 7th grade, we learned Arvei Pesachim, my impression was that it was like those TV, like in the hospital, those things they could wield all over the place. So I don't know, but it seems like the idea of sitting around one dining room table didn't really exist. People had their own individual tables. So if you have your own individual tables, you need your own individual salt. If you're sitting together at one table, or if one person is going to dip the salt in half for everybody else, then that's okay. The other thing that he makes the point here is that the real hither might be to dip the salt. That to dip it, and perhaps even to dip it three times. Why to dip it three times? So Mishnah Berurah says, quotes from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Mishum Shamelach Gematria Gimel Pa'amim Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei times 3 equals melach. So dip it 3 times. And you should have in mind for this, it says, however, it quotes the minhag of Sam Sofer Tamidav that they wouldn't dip it on Friday night. So we were thinking about why on Shabbos and not during the week, he specifically would not dip Friday night. Why would he dip Friday night? So he suggests that, the Sam Sofer suggested that Friday, if the whole thing is to commemorate that which is like on the Mizbeach, so the one night a week that there was nothing going on the Mizbeach was Friday night. That would be the one night a week not to have melech. Now that you would incorporate, however, the reason of Tosos. The reason of Tosos would still be applicable, but that was what that's what he quotes here in the name of the Chsam Sofer.
We offer
Kavanos
on Shabbos.
We offer Kavanos on Shabbos, but the idea of burning the fats overnight, so that wasn't done on Friday night. And then two more items that are mentioned. One safe in the Chashuki Chemed, which is the suggestions of Rav Zilberstein. So Rav Zilberstein has from that follow the order of Shas. So he has two issues with regards to this. He says, number one, let's say you're in somebody else's house and you're machbid on the salt thing. You're machbid on either the most of the Ramaz with the korban, or you're machbid on the not to have time wasted. So you're in someone else's house, but they don't bring out salt. So do you have a right to ask for salt? You have a right to ask for salt. So he brings a raya that says perhaps you don't. Why? Because in the Gemara you had Rava Bar Shmuel. He was at the Rish Galusa's house. He was asked to break the bread, and what did he not do? He didn't ask for salt. So even though he gave a reason. He said my reason isn't applicable. But if that's the case, that means is he only passing like that reason against all others? What about Rav Menachem's reason? So he suggests that perhaps you see from here that for an inyan, meaning Rav Menachem is not quoting you a din, he's quoting an inyan that the salt maybe will protect you. So for an inyan, you wouldn't have to interrupt. But then it says, you know, but maybe you have the right to. And then the other thing he says, what about if it's the table of a non-Jew? What if you're eating on the table of a non-Jew? Should one have salt on the table? One demand salt on the table of a non-Jew? Now, on one hand, why would I think not? Why would I think there would be a difference? Not a Avodah Zarah, it's just the Mizbeach comparison isn't applicable. You know, a Jew's table is comparable to Mizbeach, and a non-Jew's table perhaps is not comparable to Mizbeach. However, there were two reasons that the Ramah said, because the table is compared to a Mizbeach, and the food is compared to a Korban. So perhaps the salt would be applicable at a non-Jew's table as well, because even though the table might not be a Mizbeach, the food is still compared to a Korban. Therefore, maybe it's still a good idea to have salt even under those circumstances. Okay?
Doesn't anyone who's making motzi, the only one who really needs to have the chal and the salt?
It depends what our reasonings are, but you could make a case that says, yeah, the idea of dipping to be compared to this bath, and it's like a korban, then maybe only the person in charge needs to do it, and that will demonstrate for the table. In terms of the protection, the salt will be there regardless. And in terms of the food, the chal being tasty, so the chal is tasty anyways, you don't need it for that reason. So one can make a case, right, where only one person really needs to do it, and not everybody else at the table. Okay, let's stop here.